Welcome. My name is Lee Maxey. I'm the CEO here at MindMax, and we do a series of podcasts we call Mind Maxing. And this series is called Reflections and Repositioning. And if you're wondering how higher education is dealing with the global pandemic and their positioning for the future, this podcast is for you. We'll be speaking with some very interesting and smart people who are deans and directors at some of the leading institutions in the United States, hearing about their reflections and how their institutions or how they see higher ed as a whole repositioning itself for the future. So please join me as we hear from one of our interesting guests. We are grateful and pleased to have Kim McNutt with us here today, a good friend of mine who I've known for a while, and he is the Dean of the College of Extended and International Education at CSU Dominguez Hills. Kim and I have known each other, and he's always had, one, a quick wit, but two, he also has lots of ideas about what can and could be done. And he's also done some really neat innovation at one of our absolutely favorite schools to work with because of their mission. CSUDH serves a population that really, really values the education that they receive. Not that that doesn't happen at many other schools, but the delta and the opportunity that CSUDH provides the students that they serve is truly, truly important and transformational in many of the students that, go through their programs. So I'm very grateful today to have Kim, who works within the, Cal State system and thinks like an innovator and entrepreneur. And I want to welcome you, Kim, and start with our first question, which is, holy cow, we've had quite a year. So what are some of your reflections on 2020?
Well, thanks, Lee. First, let me say thank you for the invitation. And I have enjoyed working with you. You run a great organization. We've done some great work together. For those of you that don't know, Lee and I actually have presented several times together, and we have a lot of fun. And I appreciate Lee's sense of humor as well, and also the good work that he and his team do. Yeah, you're right, Lee. 2020, man, wow, what a year. The first thing that comes to mind is when this all came down in March, I was never really too concerned. You know, I never was worried like, oh, my God, the sky is falling like Chicken Little. So one of the first things we did, as many of the folks that you know in higher ed, was pivoting from face-to-face to online very, very quickly. And I was so pleased with the resiliency, first, of our staff. We have a staff of 45 that work in the college in various roles, how quickly we adapted. And I really think that's a function, Lee, of the mindset of working in a self-support college. I mean, you know, 100% self-support. So we have to be nimble, we have to be agile, and we have to be able to adapt and react. So I was very proud, A, of the staff. Secondly, part of the equation are students. How quickly the students came along with us on this journey. There was a lot of consternation on campus and concern that perhaps students wouldn't want to take online courses, particularly in even our college. When we moved a lot of programs online, all of a sudden we started seeing the registrations tick up, tick up, tick up. We were anticipating probably a 20% hit financially when my business officer and I sat down and looked at the numbers. And I got to tell you, Lee, almost a year later, we're actually in the black and we're trending that way. So the resiliency of students, despite the pandemic, what that spoke to me, Lee, was students have confidence and are encouraged by attending their online classes. And they see that earning a degree or a credential or a certificate still has value to them. Now, what the long term holds, I don't know. We'll have to see what retention looks like semester over semester. But to wrap up the first thought, you know, 2020 was crazy, but I was very happy with how quickly we adapted internally, how quickly the students adapted. And I will tell you one last thing. I call it the canary in the coal mine. We run the special sessions for the university, meaning courses that are offered at winter break, spring break, and summer. And we actually have higher enrollments this year in winter than we did last year. And last year was pre-pandemic. So again, highly encouraged. Spring intersession is looking great. Last summer enrollments in the pandemic, we had higher than normal enrollments. So again, I'm very happy the students have come along. And I'm very pleased with how it's going so far, despite everything.
So I know schools like your, actually not schools, but your unit specifically, is fairly agile and was able to adapt quickly. Can you talk about what were the conditions or what are the characteristics of your unit that enabled you to adapt quickly and in a sense, treat this as an opportunity to do something differently and grow?
Appreciate the question, Lee. Yeah. One of the things was, I'm really one of the very few people that still come into the office as I see you in your office. We had to also pivot to work from home. And so what I did was immediately equip all of our staff that had to work from home with laptops, microphones if they needed them, connectivity, everything they needed to the best of my ability to provide them the tools to do their work. I'm not kidding, Lee. We had some of our staff that said, you know what? I don't have a work table at home. Can I come in and take a table? Sure, come on in. Someone else said, you know what? I don't have a very good comfortable chair to be sitting in at home 6 hours a day. Come in and take home an ergonomic chair. I didn't care. Whatever you need, come by and get it. So I think that spirit in which I was saying, look, whatever you need, I'll do my best to provide it. I think that spoke volumes to the staff of how much they were valued. And to give them the tools they needed, I think provided a sense of confidence and like, they could take a deep breath and say, you know, I don't have to use my own laptop at home, or I don't have to fight with my children to get access to the computer because they need it for school. So that was one of the things there, Lee. So I was very proud of how we were able to pivot. I think, again, it's that sense ingrained in us working as in a self-support unit. It's like running a small business, again, just like you. And if we don't have tuition dollars or revenue coming in, positions could go away. New programs could not be developed. I can't provide money back to stateside or the main campus to provide assistance there. And we also meet very frequently as a staff via Zoom. I meet with my senior leadership, my program managers, and then the staff at large very frequently. I want them to see me in the office to have the sense of confidence that even though they may not be coming here, that, hey, the walls haven't fallen down, you know, we're still here functioning. So I think showing leadership in the sense of I'm not hiding out in a bunker here in Carson, but I'm actually coming into the office every day speaks volumes.
Great. And I could very much relate to some of the adjustments we made as a small business as well. Really it's, and the pivot to, you know, sort of what do you see happening, you know, in the short term? I'm looking at things not going, I'll call it back to normal.
Right.
Maybe ever, but definitely not in the near term. So, what do you see in the short term in the next, you know, 6 to 9 or 12 months and what, you know, what based on your learning from 2020 are you doing differently or plan to take advantage of or try and compensate for or do something, you know, more in the next 6 to 9 months?
Good question. Again, I think the first thing we did going back to March and April was, again, our ability to be agile and meet the needs immediately of several small businesses. A lot of folks that had to pivot and start having their employees work from home never managed a remote staff. So how do you go from telling someone what to do in the office, encountering them at the water cooler, having those kind of conversations, to all of a sudden I'm having to email people, call them on a phone or do a Zoom call? And so we developed within like less than a week, working with our human resource management instructors, several classes, non-credit training programs on how to manage a remote workforce. It sounds, the other class we came up with quickly sounds like closing the barn door after the cows left, but we came up with how to develop a disaster plan for your business. And those were highly successful. So we're continuing to build those and adapt. I'm on the South Bay Workforce Investment Board. I meet with those folks who are plugged into area employers and what is it that they need. So they're providing us information on the types of programs that we should be offering. Other short-term things I'm looking at, as you know me, Lee, I was never a guy that said, let's put our head in the sand and ride this thing out. I've told my staff, now's the time to put the foot on the gas. And so we're trying new things and we're still moving forward with our CRM, which is about $1 million project that we're getting near to completion. We're investing in new programs. We launched a new systems engineering degree program, a master's. We're looking to offer a new master's in radiology. Again, we're not just hoping this thing goes away, to your point, it's not going away. Things are changing. We have to adapt. I'm also still pushing hard on a pet project of mine on badging and digital credentialing. I'm working with another vendor that I won't mention here, but I'm going to be shifting vendors soon to meet more of the needs of employers and employees. Another short-term thing I'm looking at is a subscription model for higher ed. It's not new, but I want to be like the Netflix of higher ed, whereby students and faculty and current students or employers or even our alums can pay a monthly subscription fee. And I'm not suggesting they can earn a degree through this model, but we could offer a menu of courses on the subscription model that they could take as part of a subscription. So a training program, maybe an update in project management, maybe an OSHA class, maybe a human resource management class. And that fits into our mantra of lifelong learning, K through 100, that we want to engage someone, not just transactionally, they come in, earn a degree, and never come and see us again until they're at the latter stages of their life and write us a big fat philanthropy check, but to engage with us in continuing education more frequently.
Now, I've been looking at that subscription model for a long time, and one of the issues that or one of the I think the cornerstones of that is, do you have enough of a critical mass of content to make the subscription worth that? And I look, you know, you referred to Netflix, and I think, you know, Netflix in the early stages had limited content, and now obviously they have a lot, but the pandemic has caused most of us to run through anything we wanted to see. And we actually have, after our daily huddle, we have Friday mornings, people share, what else should you watch streaming wise? We share that with you. We have a Google Drive for what people are recommending. But back to that critical mass, I think that's an important component. Another component that I think is also important is it relevant to them? I've worked in the content business and the content world for a long time, and in the, I'll call it, all you can eat models of training companies that had big libraries of content, it was overwhelming for people, and it wasn't personalized. So I'm going to be very interested to see how, you know, a large amount of content with the subscription model and even micro credentials, people can find their way to the thing that's most important or relevant to them at that time. So I think that's,
you know, Lee, if I could jump in there, that's a great point. You know, there's the term, the paradox of choice, and people can freeze up when you have too much choice.
Yep.
When you go to McDonald's or to Starbucks and all you want is a black cup of coffee, right? And so you look at the board and there's all of these menu items, people panic and freeze and say, I can't make a decision. There's too much. Same to your point. So what I'm suggesting is not offering like an Amazon Prime or a Netflix model where I'll spend 10 minutes clicking through Amazon Prime trying to figure out what to watch. And it's just overwhelming. I said, I don't know what to watch, but I want to offer a smaller menu of items via this model. You're right. Maybe it's 10 courses and that's it. And granted, you can say, Kim, that's not a new model. You know, the MOOC started that, or the Coursera or edX. Well, sure, that's okay. But I'm talking about from a higher education university perspective, not a for-profit, Silicon Valley-based company, but an institution of higher education that I think, given our branding and it's like the good housekeeping seal of approval or Consumer Reports. Would I rather take a course from Cal State Dominguez Hills or Kim McNutt's training company or Lee Maxey's training company? Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. To overcome the paradox of choice, only offer a narrow amount under this model and test it and then see how it goes.
Great. So looking further forward, in the who knows area of, fiscal 2022 or beyond, two or three years, this is obviously a tremendous time in history. And, we don't know when the time in history moment is going to end. This is I've described this as a very long-term fire drill / snow day / critical event that's just ongoing. And there's a tremendous amount of fatigue, obviously, with that. However, we are going to come out the other side at some point. So what is your longer-term view of things, or what are you thinking, you know, might happen in the long term?
I've been giving that a lot of thought, Lee. So another phrase I like to throw around, there's a loosely defined Chinese definition for the word crisis. And I actually have this front and center in my office that I look at every day. And so the Chinese definition of crisis, and I love this, is dangerous opportunity. And I think that's where we are now. This could take a left turn, or it could be, you know, pay off big time, whatever some of the ideas that we're playing with here. So in addition to continuing to build on my digital credentialing projects, these lifelong learning and comprehensive learning records that people can take through their entire lives, including transcripts, the subscription model, still the tried and true things like relevant master's degrees, but offered in a more in a time frame that people can complete more quickly. I've been also in my conversations with the South Bay Workforce Investment Board and their various employer partners. There's really an emphasis on internships and apprenticeships, believe it or not. So I'm looking at that. And then finally, you're aware of these too. We're finally getting a little traction in the CSU, and then on our campus, our provost is very supportive of prior learning assessment. You know, as we know, the changing demographic of the high school aged going student is diminishing. But yet there are 35 million people in this country with some college and no degree. Some people are doing accounting jobs that they've done for 30 years, but don't have an accounting degree, but they can't get a promotion because they don't have a bachelor's in accounting. So we need to find a way, like through CAEL and other organizations, the Council for Adult and Experiential Learning. So that's another long-term goal for me, is to get, not just at our university, but in the system, for people to buy into the concept that, yes, people can bring experience, bring a portfolio of work. It can be evaluated by a faculty member and say, you know what, that work experience that you have, that really does meet accounting 101. We're going to give you 3 credits for that. So that's kind of my long-term goal. To build toward a prior learning assessment.
I'm a big fan, and we work with some schools that are actually quite good at the PLA. And I think prior learning assessment, I've been a believer in the experiential view that no one is a blank slate. We know that everyone has experience, even from a very young age, to connect with a learner by valuing that is also something that helps them feel comfortable and confident to be able to approach the learning with some knowledge so that they can build on that. Well, Kim, this has been very helpful in terms of helping me understand more about your thoughts. And I think, we have a lot of, I'll call it agreement in terms of some of the ways we think about things. What are some of your, any closing thoughts or closing comments on just where you're at and your thoughts on things?
Yeah, thanks. This has been a lot of fun. Time went really fast. I'm a very glass half full kind of person. In my 25th plus year in higher ed, we live in an exciting time, and I love what we do in continuing and extended ed, because we really are going to be the future of universities. I've talked to my provost and our president, and our units need to be a strategic partner at the table with the president's cabinet. I think many of us, when they watch the podcast, can agree that, we've always been the ATM of the university. And I've even said that to our former admin and finance VP. I said, you have to look beyond us being the provider of money and the National Bank of Extended Ed. So I'm making traction of getting us to be at the table, because we can be the test kitchen of the university and try new things. As you've heard me say this before. We can also be the Swiss Army knife, or younger viewers, the iPhone of higher ed, because everything I need, I got right here. I've got my GPS. I've got a cell phone. I've got my music list. I've got my calendar. I've got my alarm clock. I've got my maps. Everything is here. Well, that's what our continuing ed units can be too. Whatever someone within reason needs, an employer or an employee needs, I can provide it. You need a degree? I got that. You need a degree completion program? I got that. You need a master's degree? Got that too. You need a short-term class in project management? I've got that. So that's what I love about the work we do is, ultimately it's about helping the student, and it's about helping society and helping the economy. So we contribute greatly to that end, and it makes me very proud.
Well, thank you, Kim. And Kim McNutt from CSUDH, doing great stuff, great work in the Los Angeles area, and I really appreciate your time. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for another session of Mind Maxing Podcast.
Thank you, Lee. Really enjoyed it.
This has been another interesting Mind Maxing Podcast. Please listen to the other podcasts on this series, or look for us later this summer when we release our next series of podcasts.